Okay, on to something completely different in true Pulse fashion. This comedian.
Partially because my background actually did come into comedy in a little bit of an unusual fashion. I finished my PhD in ecology and evolution at UC Davis. And then I went into comedy, which I do not recommend. It's like spending 6 years of your life training for the Olympics and then going, you know what? I think I'd rather be a glassblower.
Tim Lee did get a PhD in ecology and evolution from UC Davis and then decided that's not what he wanted to do with the rest of his life. He'd always had an interest in comedy, so...
So I wrote down some jokes and I showed up at a laundromat that had an open mic and did my first stand-up comedy routine.
What were the jokes about?
I remember the first thing I said that got a laugh, which wasn't meant to be a joke, which was the MC introduced me and he said... Okay, this next guy is his first time on stage, so I want you to, give him a lot of love when he comes on up here. Please welcome Tim Lee. And I said, I got up there. I'm like, he's right. You know, this is my first time on stage, but don't worry. I've read a lot of books because I'd read a lot of books to prepare for my open mic. Coming from an academic background,
right.
That's what I thought you would do. And everyone laughs. And I'm like, huh, I don't know why they're laughing, but... I guess it's funny.
Did they laugh at your jokes?
Some of them they laughed at. Some of them were very obscure. But I think about a third of them got laughs.
Did you pick comedy because you thought you had an inkling that you might be funny or not?
I thought I could be funny, but I did a very academic approach to it. I mean, I read a bunch of books by comics first. And then they were all talking about, you know, the difficulty of writing a joke, that it seems very easy, but it's actually quite difficult. And turns out that, you know, it is a very difficult pursuit, but if you have to approach it both from like a creative perspective and a little bit from the scientific perspective, in that I record every set and I remove all the stuff that's not working, or I try to improve the stuff that's not working.
What makes it so difficult?
What makes it so difficult is because everybody finds something different funny. You know, it's things that are funny to me. I always write jokes that are funny to me, but that doesn't mean they're going to be funny to anyone else. And in fact, a lot of the jokes I record into my phone when I think of them, and then I listen to them myself a week later, and they're not funny to me even. So it's finding that common ground where that it's funny to me and other people, and then we can all agree at the same time and laugh.
How does science figure into your routine?
It figures into it a lot because it's a reflection of the way I think, and I guess I do... PowerPoint bits in this show I'm doing, Scientist Turned Comedian. I do that because originally when I was giving serious talks, I liked it when people did gag slides, you know, and so when I gave a talk, I tried to throw in some gag slides into my...
When you were still a scientist.
Yes, into my regular talk. I really enjoyed that. Now, I found that about 50% of the people at the talk found it like vaguely disturbing, I think it was the
different
quote.
Different audience.
Yeah. Vaguely disturbing, and about 50% really liked it, but I really liked it. So when I started doing comedy, one night I was at a bar in Palo Alto, and they had a screen and a projector, and I'm like, oh, why don't I try those old bits that I used to do? And I tried it at a bar, and the people loved it. I'm like, well, if they like it at this bar, they'll probably do very well to comedy clubs. I tried a comedy club, worked well too. So then I started doing basically explanations of scientific phenomena and jokes about it.
But PowerPoints are usually... so boring. Is that
yes.
Another part that makes it funny, that you use them?
Yeah, I guess so, because I hated all the PowerPoints that I used to watch. It was like they had put no effort into making it even the slightest bit interesting. And so I liked the idea of parodying that. And it's basically what most of my act is, a parody of a scientific seminar. And
it seems like being a scientist has really helped you sharpen your skills and develop new skills.
I think so. I mean, it's a way of thinking. It's got some drawbacks in that you don't develop social skills. You're very isolated in your own thoughts. And that I had to learn because it's not enough to come across the truth. You have to be able to put the truth in someone else's mind. And if you can't do that, it's almost pointless to come up with the truth, right? Because other people have to accept it as well for it to make any difference. So that's one of the sad parts about academia and science, is that they really never teach you the proper way to communicate your results and what you found and how to put it in a form that other people can understand so they can act on it in some way. So that's well, I've learned a lot of that through comedy.
Does it feel, I guess when you're a scientist, you can think that you're working on something that is good for humanity, that's important.
Yeah.
Does comedy feel that way?
Well, you know, that's been a big internal debate. It's not the most important thing you can do, and I know that. But people do come to the show kind of depressed, and they leave happy, and that is at least worthwhile.
What kind of people come to see your show? Is it like the kind of nerd fab
audience? It's just rock and rollers. It's just rock and rollers. It is, yeah, I mean, it's nerdy people. I don't think there's anything wrong with being a nerd. You can look however, it's just you have a respect for academic pursuits, you know, and I think that's something very worthwhile.
Tim Lee is a stand-up comedian living in California. His show is called Scientist Turned Comedian.
Yeah, on the radio, the oil companies are giving out gas-saving advice that they know you're not going to use. Chevron has a commercial. Did you know if you drove 55 instead of 65 on the freeway, you could get an extra 30 to 60 miles to the tank? Which is true, because you would actually get pushed forward by the honking noise.